before I even go to the agenda, let me welcome you again, honourable members. After a hectic period of the budget votes, it has been hectic, but again, I'll be failing in my duties if I don't thank you for the good work that has been done by our committee, the efforts that we have been that we have put, the superior debate that we had in the House. Thank you ever so much for that. I really appreciate it. Today, honourable members, or maybe before I even continue, Llewellyn, Mr. Brown, are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. I've received two apologies from honourable Boshoff and honourable Machete from the UDM. We won't be able to make it.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Honourable Lovemore.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that honourable Van der Walt, she's overseas until the 31st of July. I think there was a blanket apology for that period. May I tender it if you haven't received it? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That will be attended. And who? Mguni is here. I know you love Mguni, but fortunately he is here. Okay, comrades, honourable members, I'm sorry. Today you are having two sessions or sections in our agenda. The first one that will last for an hour. We are going to have a presentation by the Secretariat on the overview of our sector and the key issues from our legacy report, because we felt that will help each and every one of us to connect as we'll go afterwards to the briefing by the Department of the fourth quarterly report. Once we get exactly where we were last time, the fourth parliament, we just want to connect on that legacy report where we'll have Mr. Mahada covering those sections for us very briefly and very wisely. We are just going to hand over just to look at what our mandate is, our oversight, what are the basic things on the overviews taken from the legacy report that we had, so that as we move forward, at least we are moving from the same premise. So that is basically why we needed to have that section. Let me just hand over to you, Mr. Bandi, just lead us through. We are going to open the section of questions briefly so that by 10:30, the department will be here, then we'll be kick-starting with the quarterly report by the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. The section, as Chairperson has already indicated, reflects mainly on three areas. We're going to give an overview of the basic education sector, the legacy report, focusing on key issues from the report, and finally outlining emerging issues for oversight. Let me be quick to indicate that this section should have happened at the beginning of the term. However, due to time constraints, largely linked to the budget debate, we were not able to do it. Members have overtaken us on these issues. We watch the debate and we're very proud at the level of engagement. As I present, I will be looking at Chairperson, Honorable Gina, Honorable Lovemore, and Honorable Mpochana. This is their work. It's largely their work. They know these issues better than we do. We are simply summarizing what happened during the last term and also reflecting on key issues emerging from the draft plans of the department. The presentation will mainly focus on those areas, as we have already indicated, the legal framework of oversight, which I'm sure you know very well, but just to revise, the functions of the committee, the oversight function during the fourth term, the department entities and stakeholders, an overview of the basic education sector and key areas for oversight. Without wasting any time, committees derive their mandate from sections 55 and 92 of the Constitution. Oversight is a constitutional mandate. In terms of Section 92, members of the Cabinet are accountable collectively and individually to Parliament for the exercise of their powers and the performance of their functions. Members of Cabinet must act in accordance with the Constitution and provide Parliament with full and regular reports concerning matters under their control. Section 55 provides that the National Assembly must provide for mechanisms. A critical area of such mechanisms are committees, to ensure that all executive organs of state in the national sphere of government are accountable to it, to maintain oversight of the executive and the exercise of the executive authority, including the implementation of legislation. In terms of the provisions of the Constitution, the mandate of the committee is as outlined there. The committee focuses its work within the five constitutional mandates. The first one is to process and approve legislation relating to basic education in accordance with the rules of Parliament and the Constitution, to conduct oversight over the Department of Education and its entities. The third one, which is critically important, to facilitate public participation during legislative and service delivery related processes. The fourth one, to process and approve international protocols and conventions. And finally, to confer with the National Council of Provinces on legislation pertaining to basic education. In addition to performing this constitutional mandate, the committee engages in various activities and programs focusing on the development and delivery of quality public education to all South Africans. The committee also deals with matters referred to it by the Speaker or the National Assembly. Some of the additions that I'll make are available in the other handout that we gave out. On that note, we'll reflect briefly on the key aspects of the oversight function of the committee during the fourth term. The thrust of the committee's work during the fourth term was on oversight. In terms of the oversight function, the committee received briefings from the department, public entities, and other stakeholders. The committee also scrutinized budget votes, strategic and annual performance plans. We can add the quarterly reports of the department. In addition, the committee considered the annual reports of the entities and the auditor general reports. In terms of oversight visits, the committee visited several provinces for fact finding mission with regards to how programs are implemented in provinces. In terms of the method of oversight, which you find in the legacy report, the committee prioritizes its focus on underperforming schools. As you are aware, we've got more than 24,000 schools. So it actually makes it impossible to visit all the schools. In terms of the strategy, the committee decided to focus on underperforming schools, which is in line with international research, suggesting that to make the best impact in school improvement, you need to provide a lot of support on low-performing schools. The committee also worked with provincial legislative committees and the select committee on education and recreation. I'll leave out the Money Bills Act. We'll come back to it when we focus on the BRRR. This is an additional function of the committee as provided for by the Money Bills Act. Going straight to the department and its entities, the main department is the Department of Education, which, as we are aware by now, formulates policy, norms and standards, and monitor and evaluate policy implementation and impact. Provincial education departments largely implement policy. It should be noted that the Constitution enjoins the three levels of government to observe the principle of cooperative governance. Under this principle, the national and provincial departments have concurrent legislative competence. So when oversight is conducted, efforts are made to ensure that the constitutional provisions pertaining to provincial governments are taken into consideration. The three entities, you are well aware of them, SAIS, ELRC, and UMALUSI, with the various responsibilities highlighted there. I'll give Mr. Brown 2 minutes to focus on key stakeholders, which were part of the basic education domain.
Thank you, Mr. Bundy. As the slide shows, our organized labor and our stakeholders, key stakeholders, we have our organized labor, the main unions that we have always been engaged with, as well as some of the other NGOs like your Equal Education Section 27, etc. Just to add there, to an extent, we should probably have also included our PEDs, because we do engage with them at various levels, to also probably add where we visit schools where we have the traditional authorities. It's always well that we send courtesy letters to them. Just to indicate, when we do our oversight to the various provinces, districts, an important process that we follow is that we do communicate directly with, firstly, our minister, deputy minister, and DG, informing them that we will be at these districts at this time, and these are the issues that we will be dealing with. Where we have our traditional authorities, we will send a courtesy letter to them as well. But also, very importantly, letters goes to all of the national offices for these various unions. And what happens is they will then, from the national office, the unions will then filter down to their provincial office. And we always have these unions at all of our engagements and visits when we do have it. In fact, we have a standing item is to have engagements with the union when we are there. It's always telling when we meet with these provincial departments, and you get out of that meeting and you have your meeting with the organized labor, you have two completely different views of what is the situation in the province. But be that as it may, but it's important that we then involve our unions, that they are always knowledgeable of all our visits, our meetings, etc. And then, of course, your civil society. But I'll just hone in on equal education, section 27. As you do know, equal education, they are very involved in respect of the norms and standards on infrastructure. To a lesser extent, section 27 as well. And then, of course, our Children Institute and Legal Resource Centre at UWC and UCT. I've got that. Thank you, Chairperson.
If I may add to the list, we also interact with the Catholic Institute. I see that presented in this
day. It's part of the Fanny Child. Catholic Institute of Education.
Catholic Parliamentary Liaison Office.
Coming to basic education, we track basic education from an international perspective. Following from there, we highlight key issues at national level before we look at the activities of the department and the committee. Very briefly, basic education at an international level enjoys recognition as a fundamental human right and a developmental right. In terms of basic education as a human right, we have a number of instruments that have been developed, which includes, as listed in the slide, South Africa is a signatory to those instruments. So when we track oversight, we check what those instruments require. From a development perspective, those are two frameworks that guide our oversight and also the work of the department. The Millennium Development Goals, which are to be fulfilled by 2015. The most important one is about universal primary education. It is expected that all countries should achieve that goal by next year. There are other goals, including gender parity. Then the next one is the education for all. The sector draws from the international context to try and ensure that education is a human rights issue and a development priority. Section 21 of the Constitution guarantees the right to basic education. Basic education, as you are aware, also enjoys priority status on the national development level or agenda. The 2009 medium-term strategic framework identifies basic education as an apex priority. It is also one of the 12 development outcomes outlined in 2010. In terms of the long-term national development plan, basic education is key to reducing poverty and accelerating economic growth. So clearly South Africa is on board in terms of ensuring that basic education enjoys a developmental priority. We're now going to give an overview of progress in basic education, beginning with access, equity, and redress. As you are aware, there's basically a general agreement that substantial progress has been made in terms of those two areas, access, equity, and redress. The first key indicator relates to universal enrollment. Statistics show that the gross primary enrollment is 98.8%, which is almost universal primary education. So between now and next year, when the Millennium Development Goal will close the first set of targets, we will be checking if the 1.2% enjoys enrollment in primary education. In terms of gender parity, South Africa has also achieved a gender parity index of 1. You are aware of other key indicators for access, which include the enrollment in grade 1, which has increased from, it has actually doubled from 2003, between 2003 and 2014, from 300,000 to 779,000. So in terms of access, equity, and redress, South Africa is doing very well. The slide shows some of the key interventions undertaken to improve equity. We have poverty mitigation measures such as the No Fit School policy, which was implemented from 2007. It has reduced the burden of school fees for poor households. From a legislative perspective, the Education Laws Amendment Act of 2005 provided the legal foundation for introducing the No Fee School. Another area is the area of the implementation of the National School Nutrition Program. In terms of this program, it was estimated that in 2013-14, at the end of that financial year, approximately 8.7 million learners benefited from the program. While there's been an improvement in the equity of education funding, inequalities in terms of resources available at public schools remain due to the disparity in households' ability to supplement the funding of public schools, as well as due to inherited school infrastructure backlogs. Other key interventions include LTSM and learner transport. The committee did some work around, oversight work around those. And, while there is improvement in delivering the LTSM and learner transport, there are also challenges that are highlighted in the legacy report. Going straight to the work of the committee during the fourth term, these are some of the critical areas that require attention pertaining to access. The first area is the improvement in the quality of ECD. This is a critical area for the National Development Plan. Specifically, there are challenges regarding the employment of qualified practitioners. I'm sure today the department will give figures on progress in 2013-14 regarding this this area. There are also challenges regarding the approval of programs for qualifications for grade R and the provision of workbooks. The department is trying to address those things. The next key area is that requires attention is the need for improved access to quality education for children with disabilities. This is an area that the fourth term identifies as critical, which requires the attention of the fifth term. Textbook retrieval is another area. Provision of learner transport to all qualifying learners. Oversight work of the committee shows that not all learners benefit. A major challenge which the department is aware of, and a challenge identified by the committee, regards the quality of educational outcomes. Results of key international and national assessments show that South Africa is not performing as much as it is. It's performing well below its potential. It displays the worst average test scores among all middle income countries, but also performs worse than several low income African countries that spend less on education per capita. For example, with a GDP per capita less than one fifth as large, Kenya performs significantly better than South Africa in SACMET reading and mathematics test in 2000 and 2007. The committee visited Botswana last year due to the fact that Botswana also performed better than South Africa. So this is an area that requires oversight and oversight attention. The most recent evidence shows some improvement in performance. The TIM study, which is one of the key international studies, shows some remarkable improvement. However, South Africa still ranks at the bottom of the international spectrum. So it's quite an area that will require attention. As I said, the department is aware of these challenges. In strategic plan of 2011 to 2014, the previous strategic plan, the department outlined those challenges. The quality learning outcomes are not optimal. The quality and quantity of the LTSM are not adequate. The quality of school-based tests and examinations is not of the required standard. The quality of support from the district, specifically school support personnel, has not been constructive. Access to basic education is also not optimal. This is what the stress plan identified as key challenge. In response, the department introduced a range of interventions between 2010 and 2014 as listed there. The introduction of CAPS was an attempt to address challenges regarding learning outcomes. The introduction of ANA, the new strategic planning framework for teacher development, the distribution and development of literacy and of numerous learning and support material. Learning and teaching support materials. All those attempts are a response to the challenges in education from the department's perspective. Action plan to 2014 also attempts to address quality issues It's based on 27 goals, which relate to improving access to quality ECD programs, improving performance in language and mathematics in grades 3 to 9, improving performance in grade 12, learner enrollment until age 15. The responses also include programs such as ACD for improved infrastructure development, the establishment of NEDU to review the status of education policies. From the committee's perspective, these are some of the key areas for oversight. Yes, those are the areas. Improvement in the quality of ECD, including those ones. We have referred to some of those ones. In terms of educational outcomes, although learner performance in the National Senior Certificate, that is Patrick, and ANA Foundation phase improved during the fourth parliament, learner outcomes in intermediate and senior phases, particularly grade 9 in mathematics, remain of concern. The number of bachelor passes and the quality and number of mathematics and science also requires oversight attention. District support, the committee's 2014 oversight visit to the Eastern Cape highlighted the need for more targeted support to underperforming schools. In addition, there is a need to intensify support to schools in using ANA for its intended purpose as a diagnostic tool, the committee found that. Another area that was problematic was in respect of post-provisioning. The committee found the high vacancy rate of educators, particularly in gateway subjects of mathematics and science. There was also a need to strengthen oversight on the placement of Funza Lushaka bursary graduates in needy subjects. In terms of infrastructure, some progress has been made. However, it was lower than intended during the fourth term. I'm sure you will note when the department presents that the target for infrastructure was to replace or to replace 140 inappropriate structures, and then the progress has not been very encouraging, but lately there is some work around infrastructure. So that's an area to pay special attention when the department presents regarding the 2013-14 financial year, which will be highlighted in Program 4 in terms of the activities of the department. Intersectoral collaboration, the committee, the fourth parliament committee felt that there was a need to strengthen the collaboration of departments. The QLTC posed a challenge. In terms of exam readiness, the issue of the competency test for markers needed to be resolved as a matter of urgency through engagements with unions. That's an area that we should continue to pay attention to. Rural incentives, members highlighted this during the budget debate. Lastly, we highlight key issues for oversight emerging from the sector's plans for 2014 to 2019 as presented by the department. From the SONA, from the 2014 SONA, those are the areas that require attention. Universal access to education, we have already indicated that 98.8 have already achieved that. The focus will be on the 1.2, which the department estimates to be about 110,000, and about 8% of learners with disabilities. That's a critical area. Beyond the age of 7 to 15, learners with disabilities are also excluded from schooling. The increase in the number of grade 12 learners who gain entrance to universities from 172,000 in 2013 to 250,000 in 2019, that's the target from SONA that we should focus on. The eradication of math schools and other inappropriate structures, the National Development Plan put 2016-17 financial year as the year to eradicate all math schools and inappropriate structures, including basic such facilities such as water. So that's an area that we should focus on also. Other issues from SONA include the fight against drugs and substance abuse, prioritizing safety and child health in schools. Those two areas fall in Program 5 of the department. Prioritizing learner transport, the committee also found some areas that require attention there. Lastly, the delivery of furniture in all Eastern Cape schools by the middle of August 2014 is an area that we will need to pay attention to. Other issues are as elaborated there. Members can go through those issues. Infrastructure, accountability issues. Some of the key targets from the National Development Plan are as highlighted there. And the committee will need to pay special attention to those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks so much, Mr. Bandi. Honorable members, hopefully this has opened up excuse me, some of the issues and questions that we had, but above all, I think it's trying to pave our way as to say how do we go forward. I know we'd love to discuss and debate this, but there is not much to be debated and we don't have much of the time. But I will open up for that. But before I do that, why is this thing having an echo? Okay. I think, again, having highlighted on where we ended and what is it that we wanted to look at on the fourth parliament and which still applies even now, it was very good on page page 17, where indeed, no, it's not page 17. Yeah, it's page 17, where we highlighted mostly the areas where we say those were the key focus areas, but still work in progress, as to say. We still have to do a follow-up on those ones, like the improvement of quality ECD education. Really, we still have a lot to do when it comes to that. We still have to exercise our oversight. Improvement of access to quality education, children with disability, retrieval of textbooks, provision of learner transport, make sure that rural incentives are applied. And we know, honorable members, that when it comes to rural incentives, if ever it needs that, we need public participation, discussions need to open as to say, how do you define rural? Because I think that is where the bone of contention is, even with the department, as to say, when we say we want to apply these rural incentives, what is it that we mean exactly about rural itself? Those are all the discussions that that we need to be looking at. But again, what we are still going to go for our strategic planning for this 5 years that we are in. So that in that planning, again, as a committee, we know exactly that even when we exercise our oversight role, most of the time we are not reactive to the things that have happened. But we need also to be proactive, though we cannot run away from the fact that we need to be reactive sometimes. Let me cite for an example, in the media now, we're talking of this racism that is that is trying to, starting to prevail. Go look at what is happening in the First State. Definitely, as a committee, we cannot be quiet on that. We have to react. We have to have statements. We have to have, you know, there are things that we still have to work with the Secretariat as to say, how do we see ourselves? How do we find ourselves in such areas? Because indeed, we have to be reactive. But as a committee, again, when we do our strategic planning ahead, we need to be very much proactive as to say, let us move forward and see what is it that we can do, even, you know, before some of these things even go to media. Things that we need to discuss with the department, a teacher pupil ratio, that is one of the biggest challenges that we are faced with as a country, and we are always calling for quality education, but sometimes we are still going to go out there. You find that in one class there are about 60, 70 learners in one class. Then you find it, you just see that it's quite impossible. We can sing, we can talk, we can do whatever. But just imagine, how do we get quality education in those instances? So the issue of teacher-pupil ratio, it's one of the things that I propose that as a committee, we just need to engage the department, look at those. I know there are a lot of challenges when it comes around, but at the end, we are looking for that quality education, of which there are instances where you see that it's very difficult to reach. But on a, when towards my end, I'm proud, honourable members. Yes, when you mark South Africa on international standards, we're doing very low. But for me, I think there is hope a little bit that you are seeing. We're seeing ourselves improving. Maybe the introductions of things like ANA. We have seen exactly where we are weak and we are improving. But I was happy, I think it was a month or two, when there was again this test that was taking place here in the Western Cape, where we saw South African students in mathematics getting even a bronze medal, saying that at least there were a number of countries that came behind us, meaning that at least we are seeing the progress. Though this morning I was very disturbed when maybe most of you saw it this morning, a certain researcher from the University of KwaZulu-Natal, mm-hmm. they conducted a test, a mathematics test, with the teachers that are teaching grade 12 mathematics. So they took one of the question papers, the previous question papers. Mm-hmm. I think I'm narrating something that you saw. Mm-hmm. Okay. They took this question paper, the previous year question paper, gave it to the teachers teaching grade 12 mm-hmm. mathematics. Remember, the test have got different levels of questioning. There are those general questions and there are those that are a little bit complex. The average of those teachers to pass that paper, it was around 61%, of which it was a concern. Looking at the levels of teacher of questions, most of them performed on these general questioning, but when it went to the complex question, that is problem solving and what, it was around 28. And really, for me, looking there as a South African citizen, it was a concern. Worse, sitting in this committee of education, then the question will be, what are we expecting then? What good results will we be expecting then? It was a concern, but I was happy today because we are even meeting the department just to say, when we talk of teacher development, those are the issues that we need to look at. And I'm just throwing it to the committee to say, we still have a long way to go. Those are the things that we need to look at and make sure that we advise or we give strategies even to the department as to say, how best can we make sure that our education improves and we get the better results. But as I'm saying, there's still a long way to go, of which it will go back even on the initial teacher training. What is being trained there? What is it that they get so that we get the necessary results as they move towards the school? Honourable members, I'm not closing really, but I know we don't have time. We only have less than 10 minutes. Just to, I know there's nothing that we'll be questioning here. It was just a briefing. But maybe you want to add or clarity briefly so that within this 10 minutes, by 1:30, we get into the department. But this document, I can assure you, it will just assist us all if we go through it again to see what is it that can be expected of us even on this 10. Thank you very much, Mr. Bandy, Mr. Brown. That was well captured. Thank you ever so much. You have a proposal, Mr. Mposhane?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the Secretariat for a comprehensive presentation. But Chair, I don't think it will be helpful for us speaking to ourselves on this legacy report, because it contains very important issues, some of them which should be taken up by the department. Perhaps, time allowing, you know, schedule, Chair, we could schedule not a workshop, but a meeting with the department where we sit down with the department, look at these outstanding issues or the issues that need further attention. Don't you think that will be a helpful exercise, Chairperson?
Honourable Mojana, it will, as I've said, we are still planning to have our strategic workshop where we'll be having the department, the provincial departments, the HODs, where together we can, you know, we are planning for this administration. And I think in that workshop, because we're not looking at less than 2 days, 2 or 3 days, where we'll be seated there trying to, can't be a week, Mojana, Honourable Bob. Yeah, sort of a Monkey Valley thing. Yeah, that's what we're planning for. And really, after that, yeah, we will be in the position to. Honourable Lovemore?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not so sure that Monkey Valley is a good idea. You know, we had to share houses, and there was an ANC member who's no longer a member of this committee who had to share a house with me, and she cried because she had to share a house with a member of the opposition. She didn't like it. Chairperson?
I'm sorry, love. You didn't cry yourself.
No, I didn't cry.
Oh, okay.
I'm quite happy.
Okay.
Chair, just a few points of clarity. Access, equity, and redress was mentioned also by Mr. Mweli during a presentation. He was talking about how well the department had done in those three respects. But redress has never been defined, and I'm just interested, Mr. Bundy went into some detail on what he meant by access, went into some detail on what he meant by equity, and he went into some, but he didn't go, sorry, into any detail on what he meant by redress, and I'm just interested in what exactly he does mean. I'm not debating this, but I do find that in areas for oversight, the competent teachers, the lack of competent teachers is doesn't seem to receive enough attention, but that's just a comment. Just on page 27, there's reference to the 2014 State of the Nation Address, and my view is that it's just as important to reference the response to the debate on the State of the Nation Address, because it is also the President standing up making commitments. It's not his State of the Nation, but on, if, for instance, now in June 2014, when he replied to the debate, he said that every vacant post for a math and science teacher will be filled as soon as possible. He spoke about he said close to 100 schools that were not offering mathematics, etc. So those commitments, I would imagine, are just as they are. They are just as binding, and we should certainly be exercising oversight with respect to them as well. And then, just at the bottom of page 28, the last bullet point says the implementation of the norms and standards for. And for what I just would like to know. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Before I even go give to Mr. Bundy, the issue of math and science, I think it came out in this report where we're talking about teacher distribution and those schools without math and science. I'm not sure of the page, because it's one of the areas where we said we must make sure that we exercise our oversight on them. And before we even go, but we must make sure that we hold our department accountable, really, due to the basis that you are saying.
Yeah.
That is one of the commitments. But really, it has been highlighted. Maybe Mr. Brand will remind me, but there is a sentence that talks to exactly the issue of math and science teachers, where even when we go out to those schools, exactly, we find that there's a huge shortage. So, yeah, it's one of the areas that has been highlighted to make sure that we do make a follow-up on that. Honourable Mokoto, I'm moving towards the end now.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I perused through one of the documents that we were given as we started in this portfolio, I saw that there was an item, actually three items. The other one spoke to African languages, incremental introduction of African languages. So I don't see it here. And then the issue of the school sports in those documents, in terms of the issues that are to be reflected on the curriculum, I don't know whether it was a deliberate omission or an oversight. So if it is an oversight, I think I want to add that we must include those. And then just to check, there is somewhere where you speak about the index. Because I'm new in this sector, I wanted to check whether we can be guided where to see that thing on the gender parity index number one that was adopted in 2012, just to guide us where to get it so that we are able to know the elements or the requirements that we have addressed before. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think, yeah, there are other elements, as we are saying, that needs to be that we have started with, as we are saying, the issue of languages, indigenous languages and school sports. I think it will be included in, because this one is just where we are reflecting. So in our way forward, we are that we still need to have to talk to those ones. Other than the MDGs, when you talk of those index, the gender parity and what I think you are referring to that, Honourable Mr. Bandi, but can you respond to that? Then we close. We allow. Before you respond then, Mr. Bandi, can I take Mr. Mguni? Please, can I see the indication of those who want to speak so that we close up? By 10:30, I think the department is waiting for us outside. We are still going to get a chance for this, as we are saying, we are planning for the strategic plan. 2 days. I think we'll exhaust our questioning. But Mr. Mguni, I'm sorry, Honorable Mguni, your hand has been up. Let me take you, then we conclude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought maybe the decorum of the parliament has gone out.
I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. While Honorable Mokoto has just taken some of the things, I wanted to raise those. The issue of sports, the issue of language. My hand was long up, and then I don't know whether the issue of security, because I thought security at schools, it's a concern now. Different levels of security. And then lastly, page 23. If you look at the last bullet there, it looks like there was an omission. I don't know whether it's me, it's my page, where it's including. I don't know what is included there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Briefly, Mr. Bandi, just respond to those two, the last sentence and also that one for the index. Yeah, there is something missing there. There was but as a teacher, Honorable Mguni, you can just add whatever that you feel.
Slide 23, including those who take out.
The department produced a report other questions I'm sure members can respond to them better than I can do. Regarding redress, Honorable Lovemore, it seems that the concept is defined in relation to the disparities of the past, closing those disparities in terms of financing education and also in terms of prioritizing economically disadvantaged schools. Mm-hmm. Yes, members raised very important aspects for oversight. What we have done was to give an overview. Those aspects are crucial. In fact, we have identified some of these aspects in a separate paper. For example, the incremental introduction of African languages has already been identified for a briefing by the department. So what we have done was just to give an overview. Each program has got the priorities that need to be followed up on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pandey, Mr. Brown again. Honourable members, can you just stretch your legs forward?
Sorry, Chair, the other thing that was missing on page 28,
oh, yeah.
The implementation of the norms and standards for.
Sorry, yes, that was an omission for school infrastructure.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Just stretch your legs, members, for 3 minutes while the department is getting in. Then we'll start with the presentation.
Sure.